It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and we need to talk about noise. Now, the noise of a gas-powered leaf blower, we can agree that's just some noise pollution. But what about the sounds emanating from electric vehicles? There's one in my neighborhood that sounds a little bit something like a heavenly choir. That's the one. These EVs are all quieter than old-fashioned combustible engines, and that quiet can be disconcerting, if not downright dangerous. Have you considered these new sounds that our electric cars make, and what are some of their consequences as you hear it? 1-800-642-1234 to join our conversation this morning. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Deborah Kent Stein is a journalist and an activist with the National Federation of the Blind. And Deb, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's begin with your first experience with the Toyota Prius almost 20 years ago now, because it's become something of lore. I think it was, you know, largely part of the, it seems like part of the story about the 2010 law about the noises our electric cars make. What was your first experience like with a Toyota Prius?
Well, we have a family friend who is really into automobiles for a number of reasons, and one day he came by the house and he was driving a Toyota Prius, and he said, you know, this thing is so quiet, you really can't hear it at all. And I, as a blind person, I am very attuned to the sounds of cars because that's how I know when it's safe to cross the street. So I said, well, I want to hear it. I was convinced I would be able to hear it. And so we went out outside of my house in a quiet Chicago street. Yes, there is such a thing as a quiet Chicago street. And he got into his car and I heard the door close, and I stood on my sidewalk and I waited and I listened. And after a while, the door opened and he got out of the car, and I said, so when are you going to start up? And he said, well, actually, I drove up to the end of the block and then I backed up past you. And then I drove up to the end of the block again and backed up. And I felt this kind of chill to the bone because I had not heard a thing. And I thought, oh, we've got a problem.
Yeah, and Debbie, you were championing the passage of the 2010 Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act. What does this law require?
Well, the law requires hybrid and electric motor vehicles to emit a sound which will indicate their presence to pedestrians. And they're supposed to make a sound when they are moving at a speed under 20 miles an hour, because when they're going faster, we would assume that you can hear the tires on the street, you can hear the wind rush. There's some sound that would be audible to pedestrians when they're going faster, but it's at the slow speeds when they're backing out of a driveway or coming out of an alley. That's when they really turned out to be dangerous.
And where do you see the 2010 Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act was a decade ago? What have we learned since the passage of this law, Debbie?
Well, it took quite some time for the regulations of the law to actually go into effect. So it's not as though overnight after 2010, everything changed. And another thing is that the law does not require vehicles to be retrofitted. So there are still probably some of the older vehicles out there that are still very quiet. Overall, I think the law has made an improvement. And just as you indicated with that electric car, there are sounds that are being built into the new hybrid and electric vehicles. But the law has some things that are not covered that we're very concerned about. For instance, electric buses. The law does not cover vehicles that weigh more than 10,000 pounds. So back in 2010, we weren't too worried about that. We figured 10,000 pounds, that's pretty big. That should cover just about everything, but does not cover electric buses, does not cover electric 18-wheelers if they come along. And it also, on the other end of the spectrum, it doesn't cover the scooters, which are beginning to proliferate in cities. And they're small. They do go up to 15 miles an hour. And it's quite possible that you could not hear one and could be hit by it.
We're talking about what the cars of the future could or should sound like and why it's important that they make at least some noise. With us is Debbie Kent Stein, activist with the National Federation of the Blind. And if you could just, if you would, Debbie, take us through walking around outside. What sounds are you listening for? What are you paying attention to?
Well, I'm paying attention to a lot of things. I'm paying attention to the people in my environment, because I don't want to bump into people on the sidewalk. I like to give them as much space as they need. I'm listening to automobiles. When I get up to a corner, of course, I'm going to stop and kind of mentally map out the landscape of which cars are going parallel to me, because that would indicate that I can cross. I want to hear if cars are turning. I want to hear if somebody is idling at the intersection and maybe they're waiting to start up, and I want to give them their right of way. I don't want to second guess them and assume that they see me and they're going to give me space.
All of this seems to require some form of communication, Debbie, some form of expression, some noise, a sound.
Exactly.
Yeah. So have you had close calls with quiet electric vehicles outside of that first experience with a Prius almost 20 years ago?
I've had a couple of heart-stopping moments of walking around in downtown Chicago and suddenly hearing a car moving in front of me that's coming out of an alley that I wasn't aware that it was in the alley. So, you know, fortunately, it was making enough sound when it moved in front of me that I was able to stand still and let it pass. But one of the things we discovered in working on the quiet car legislation was how much sighted pedestrians and cyclists also depend on sound. So the activism that we got involved with also affected sighted pedestrians and cyclists all over the country.
I was certainly thinking of it this morning as there was a sign for a crosswalk, but I didn't need and wasn't looking at the sign. I just heard the ding of from the box, and that was enough for me to know that it was clear to go. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Debbie Kent Stein is our guest, author, journalist, activist with the National Federation of the Blind, asking you to think about what you hear out there. And we're talking about what the cars of the future could sound like and why it's important that they make some noise. And if you've had this experience like Debbie has, you are welcome to join our conversation. If you've thought of this world from our oral aspects, the sounds that our world makes and how they in some way are intended to keep us safe, join us. If you have stories like Debbie's that are a little heart-stopping, please share. They could make a difference this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates that in 2020, more than 6,500 pedestrians were killed in the United States, and another 55,000 were injured. 938 bicyclists were killed in traffic accidents. So far this year in Wisconsin, 56 pedestrians and 8 bicyclists have been killed by cars. How much do people rely on sound to stay safe? even if they don't realize it? That's where we're looking, listening this morning, and inviting you to join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. What do you hear out there? Email available, ideas@WPR.org. Our guest, Debbie Kent Stein, is an activist with the National Federation of the Blind, a children's author and journalist, and she stays with us. And Deb, let me ask you, how much do people, how much do I rely on sound to stay safe without me even thinking about it?
Well, when we started working on legislation about hybrid and electric vehicles, eventually we were able to connect with people at the National Highway Transit Safety Administration, which is part of the Department of Transportation. And they did a study looking at statistics on injuries and deaths related to hybrid and electric cars. And the way they did this was they found the states that indicated the make of the vehicle that was involved in an accident with a pedestrian. And there were 12 states that gave that information, only 12, we were surprised. And so they were able to look at those 12 states and see how many of those accidents and even fatalities involved hybrid and electric vehicles. And it was rather shocking. It was a 50% greater likelihood that a pedestrian would be injured or even killed by a hybrid rather than an electric, rather than a traditional combustion vehicle. So that was really incontrovertible evidence that these cars were not only dangerous to blind people, but that they posed a hazard to sighted pedestrians and cyclists as well.
Which brings us to the phones, where Ilani in Fort Atkinson is standing by. Ilani, you're on the air with Deborah Kent Stein.
Good morning. I never gave it a thought in terms of someone being blind. But what I run into, I have a Prius, and what I run into in the area I live in, Fort Atkinson, we have a lot of walkers, and they have a tendency to walk in the street, and they walk on the wrong side of the street. And it makes me very nervous because I come up behind them, and it's like, you know, you don't have eyes in the back of your head, and you're not going to hear me. So that makes me nervous. The other thing, Whitewater, the city of Whitewater, has just passed a city ordinance. They can't, that golf carts will now be allowed on the streets, on any street that's posted for less than 25 miles an hour or less. So
those golf carts, the electric golf carts, can be completely silent, can't they?
Right. I would think so. But, well, you know, Whitewater has a very large community available for retirees. So that's why they've allowed the golf carts.
Ilani, as a Prius owner, I'm curious if you would like to have your car be a little louder. If they could turn up the artificial noise that your car makes as it comes down the street, would you turn it up?
Oh, well, yes. And see, mine doesn't have it because mine's an 07.
Okay.
And that's why I'm there's more than once that I have stopped people and told them, hey, you know, you need to be on the other side of the street when you're walking.
But they might have told you, Ilani, that your car's too quiet. I imagine this is not an uncommon problem, Debbie. And as you've worked on the legislation from 2010 and you've seen its passage and seen what updates it needs, how common are stories like these that you hear?
They're pretty common. And, you know, we are concerned. We've tried very hard to add pieces into the legislation about retrofitting. Another thing we've been concerned about, and we were not able to get it into the legislation, was for vehicles to make a sound at idle when, you know, when they're standing at the street crossing and waiting for the light to change so that they can move forward. The motor shuts off completely on many vehicles. And that's wonderful for greenhouse gases and all that, saving fuel, but means that it's sitting there and we've got no way to know that it's there. So when it starts up, it's a bit of a surprise.
Deborah Kent Stein, our guest, author, journalist, and activist with the National Federation of the Blind. As we listen for the automobiles that are coming down the street, what do you hear from the new electric vehicles at 1-800-642-1234? And have you thought about this before? And when you do, what do you think? Let's go to Mark in Wauwatosa now. Mark, you're on the air with Debbie Kent Stein.
Hello. I drive an electric vehicle for city tours in Milwaukee. It's like a six-passenger golf cart, just big enough. And we have a maximum speed on those vehicles of, we call them cruisers, of 25 miles per hour. And one trick that we use a lot is, when we're starting up at intersections, we just give a little tap on the horn, tap, and then to alert people.
Sure.
Because we can come up on people very quietly, and sometimes they're totally unaware that we're there.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mark. And the tap on the horn is something that I would do around a blind corner in my automobile as well. But should the tap be necessary, or should this be part of a safety feature that comes standard in anything that's going to be out in the street?
Well, perhaps it should be standard. I don't know.
Something to think about, and I appreciate your perspective driving down and coming up on people like that. It makes me think of the airport when you have a people mover behind you in the airport and you realize it at the last second. Debbie, what are you working on right now? What's next for you? Is there an update that needs to happen for this 2010 legislation, and is there some impetus to get it done as you see it?
Well, we certainly would like to take on these hybrid and electric buses, which are moving around on downtown streets and in a lot of cities now. And I think they're going to be the wave of the future. It might be possible to get something added to the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, or we may need some additional local or nationwide legislation. It's a daunting task, especially in today's political climate, to get things done.
Is it more, and from your experience, and this is, when you're talking about people who have disabilities, who are living with disabilities, are you more likely to get action furthered if you make the case that it's actually not just people with disabilities, but all of us, that if it were just isolated to disabilities, there is some concern that people with disabilities, there is some concern that there might not be the wherewithal to get something accomplished?
Yes, I think it definitely gives added impetus, because really this is an issue that affects everybody.
Thank you for that. And let's go. We've got time for another caller here. Kyle's in Minneapolis, and he joins us. Kyle, you're on the air with Debbie Kent Stein.
Oh, hi, guys. Minneapolis I'm from. I just work here in Milwaukee, and I listen to NPR in Minneapolis usually, but the radio waves don't reach that far.
Right.
But I was just jumping in on this conversation. I, a current owner of a Model 3 Tesla, had two Chevy Volts with a V. I've had a Chevy Bolt with a B. And I also, if you cruise around downtown, you will see me on a Harley Livewire, which is electric.
Oh, wow. What's Harley Livewire sound like, Kyle?
Yeah, everywhere I bring this thing, people just gawk at it and go, what is that? But yes, they made a electric motorcycle 2 years ago. It wasn't a hot seller, but even that vehicle, you guys were discussing the federal laws. That one does not have a noisemaker. Obviously, as a motorcyclist, I do not want to hit a pedestrian, because that would hurt both of us. And Mike, I was trying to get at, the Volt, the older Volt, had a pedestrian warning button on it that you hit that was a little different than the horn. And I don't know why they quit doing that with all of them, because you can see I transitioned and they just don't have that little dee 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 dee. It's a different noise than.
So you've had all these electric vehicles. Which one do you feel safest in when you're out on the road?
The Livewire.
Really? On the motorcycle? Why?
Well, you can dodge people.
Okay.
And the Livewire does have a loud chain case or a gearbox,
all
so
right.
There is probably no noisemaker because of that. You can kind of hear a clanking coming down the road. But yeah, the Tesla also will stop by itself if a pedestrian gets in front of it.
Kyle, it's good to get the perspective of somebody who's been behind the wheel of so many of these electric vehicles. And Debbie Kenstein, I apologize because we're just out of time, but it, I hope, has brought this issue to the fore and at least made people listen for it when they're out and about today. And thank you for bringing it to our attention this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Debbie Kenstein is a children's book author, a journalist, and an activist with the National Federation of the Blind. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.